Right on, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Not Quite Strangers. My name is Valerie Hope. I'm a leadership coach. I'm a speaker, a podcaster, and all around just love meeting people. So I would say I'm a visionary connector. And this particular podcast was born out of a need to bring people together who are not quite strangers, at least to me, and have a meaningful conversation. And I have a couple of not quite strangers today that I'm going to introduce to you. But if you are not subscribed to this podcast, make sure that whatever your favorite podcast platform is, you either favorite us or, you know, give us the thumbs up so that you make sure that you get every single episode that comes up into your feed. And now to tell you about my guests. I actually have two fantastic people who have actually made me, I think, a fantastic person in their own way, shape, or form. I know, right? You weren't expecting this. So I'll start by introducing you, Christine. So Christine, you and I met because you joined the Berkeley Executive Coaching Institute last year, and I was your faculty coach.
Yes, you were.
For, I don't know how many, 9 months or something like that? Mm-hmm. Or yeah, for some time. And you know, what's been interesting, I think, is you have such a creative outlook and not only life, but and an edge. Yeah, I mean, not just because of your hair color and the leather jacket and the pole in the background. I mean, that's like, yeah, given. But I think some of the conversations that we had about your creative expression also sparked some creativity for me, like really thinking about, well, how might I use what I do in my way to communicate more honestly, more authentically? I think our conversations really had me question, as much as I was questioning you as part of the coaching, had me question also my own creative expression. So I appreciate that. I always learn as a coach, you know, that's kind of part of it. So you and I met, and I think you actually did, when we had to reverse roles for your coaching exam, I brought up some things around my podcast, which I don't remember now what we brought up, but ta-da, you're here now.
I was really coaching you to invite me onto the podcast. I think that's what happened.
That's what that was. I understand now. But as I was, and I think I had you kind of like on standby. I told you, hey, I want you to be on this podcast. I'm not sure who I'm going to introduce you to yet, but I do want you because I think it would be a really fantastic conversation. And it took me a minute to figure out who would be a good person to pair Christine up with. And then ta-da, enter Monica Youngblood. Monica, and you and I met because I was also your coach. We did our program with Salesforce. And I remember we actually had a very brief, it was, I think we only had two sessions, right? It was all communication-based coaching. And you were sharing some of this really fantastic ideas that you had about how you wanted to bring in new voices and the inspiration that you wanted to bring into the workspace. And your enthusiasm and your commitment to giving people resources and information that could benefit them beyond the work they do, but like the person that they would get to become, I was like, yes, you're my people.
And we really bonded during that session.
We totally did. And I thought, oh my goodness, you're the person I want to introduce to Christine, because I think both of you have, first of all, communication and creativity seem to be like innate for the two of you. And when I mean, it's not a conversation that we have on a regular basis. We communicate, obviously, and we have creativity, but I think to talk about it might be interesting. And so, ta-da, you're both here now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us. So fun already.
I got to ask you though, and whoever wants to start can, why did you say yes to being on the podcast, meeting a complete stranger?
Why not?
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm kind of like a spiritual, like a crunchy person in my normal life. And I really like the idea of just kind of like magical moments or conversations. And right before we started recording, I was talking about synchronicity. So this just seemed like a really cool opportunity to do that. And also at a baseline as a person, I, as a general rule, say yes to opportunities, especially if it's something that I've never done before, and that check that box, never done something like this before.
Ooh, what's on the list? It was on the list to be on a podcast?
No, it was on no list, but it's like, it's more of like, it was a list of things I haven't done yet. So,
so just saying yes to any opportunity. That was what? Perfect. Thank you. And Monica, you said, why not? So
well, I totally can relate with that, Christine. I feel like, you know, it's so good to lean into opportunities and things as they come your way. And I think, Valerie, you and I had a conversation during that same conversation. I was sharing with you, like, what if you just asked one or two more questions of people, you know, in the hustle and bustle of, hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm so busy. Or, you know, how's the weather? Whatever kind of surface questions that we have. I was actually sharing with Valerie that a colleague and I did a little like secret experiment. And for about a month, we asked like two or three more questions just in the elevator or, you know, as you were coming across someone. And then it was incredible the things that you uncovered by just really kind of taking the time to dig a little bit deeper and actually form a human connection. And so the very thought of this podcast was so spot on to that kind of philosophy. And I love that. So thank you for including me.
Oh, this is very cool. And you know what's so interesting? I literally had this conversation with my brother last night because we have a family forum where I call it a family talk show, basically. We have one person who's a guest every month and I interview them and actually kind of facilitate. Now it's evolved. Before I was just asking the questions, and now it's evolved so that I ask different family members to bring in the question and they respond, right? I remember my brother saying something like, if it weren't for that, I don't know if I would be reaching out to to other family members. These are relatives, cousins, aunts, uncles, et cetera. So I don't know if I would be reaching out to some of them one-on-one, but I do see them in the group, but it's kind of cool to interact. And I was like, well, why not? You could ask just some of the questions that he's like, no, Valerie, you're like the deep dive instructor. We need you there to make sure that nobody drowns. I was like, yeah, fair enough. But I guess my question to you guys is, you know, you obviously you work with a lot of different people. You have lives that go beyond the work that you do and beyond our coaching relationship. So what is it about saying yes to an experience that you haven't done before or asking one or two more questions? Like, why does that even matter? Why does it matter to have those kind of experiences?
I think it's, for me, you know, just walking through life, and I feel like after a rough few years collectively as a society, you kind of think about like, why are we all even here? You know, at the end of the day, as I reflect back on my life, am I going to think about this meeting that I'm stressed about? Or am I going to think about this project that I'm working on? Maybe if that's kind of your soul work and that's really what you want to be focused on, but probably you'll think about who were you doing it with? You know, how did you make people feel? What true meaningful human connections did I really foster in my life? And I kind of, for me, like to just use that as a North Star for how I show up in the world. And the smallest things can make a big difference to people. You know, if you can do one or two things that can take a really surface engagement, you know, at a store buying something to something meaningful of giving a compliment or, you know, saying something kind or really genuinely thanking someone, and you kind of feel that human connection and you're like, oh, okay, that's why we're here. You know, like this is what life is all about. So for me, that's kind of just what makes me happy in life, just making those real connections.
That might be something to explore. How does it feel to have, like the actual sensation or emotion of having a human connection? Because it's usually it's brief sometimes, right? But it could be really palpable and powerful. So yeah. Christine, what would you say?
Yeah, well, I feel like it's, when I think about, there are a couple things that this made me think about. One of them is just reflecting on the state of the world right now and how divisive the rhetoric has become in some places. And I feel like it's, we're quicker, or we've been kind of trained to find and drill into differences between one another versus like the shared experience of being a human in the world and like all of the things that kind of come with that. And it made me think about when I started dating a few years ago, I was reading, or getting back into the dating world a few years ago, I was reading Aziz Ansari's book, and he talks about how when you're on a dating app, you're more likely to swipe left on people and automatically disqualify people over really superficial things. Whereas like if you met someone in person, you might actually be able to find more common ground with them in a conversation than you can just from like the surface level characteristics and traits. And I feel like ever since realizing that, I've really tried to take to heart this idea that there is value in being curious about the people around us and seeing what those common nuggets are, whether it's someone that you work with or someone that you're just encountering on the street or in the grocery store. There are always moments of connection around the shared experience of being human. And I find that just very like poetic to think about. I find it's like a happier lens to like look at the world.
Oh, that's huge. Like you're right. I think we do tend to swipe left very quickly, you know, because there's no investment, right? Mm-hmm. There's no investment. I know there are some people, and I apologize if you're one of them, who have sent me a friend request on either Instagram, not Instagram, on Facebook. And I'm like, I don't know you. Who do you know that I know? I'm not gonna decide right now. They've probably been there for me.
They're sitting in friend request purgatory.
Worse if I just met them randomly at a workshop or an event, I'd be like, oh my gosh, absolutely, we should be friends on Facebook. Like nothing. I'm like, why do I have like have criteria all of a sudden? So I'm curious, Christine, what did you swipe left about?
I mean, in the past, well, this is actually a perfect story of this. So I love food. I love going out to eat. And so in the past, when I was on dating apps, I would automatically swipe left on like, if someone said that they were vegetarian or vegan, I'd be like, no, that's not going to work, which is hilarious because the man that I am marrying at the end of this year, on our first date, we were talking and he had revealed to me, like, oh yeah, I've been, you know, vegan for like 6 or 7 months. And in my head, I had alarm bells like, oh, if I had known that, I would have swiped left. But we ended up having an amazing date. It has not been disruptive to our relationship at all. And even to this day, he like doesn't eat red meat. Like he'll eat chicken or some other things. But it's a perfect example of like, if I had been overly principled about like before, like how I would swipe left on things, like I wouldn't have taken the time to see where this relationship could go, and maybe we wouldn't be getting married now. So
congratulations. Yeah. That's exciting.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I think there should be a book in there somewhere.
Oh yeah. It'll be somewhere in there. I heard that. So we met on Hinge. I heard that if you message them to let them know that you're getting married or something, because they market themselves as the app that's designed to be deleted, and I heard they'll send you a wedding gift or like treat or something if you tell them that you're getting married. So we need to, I want to test it.
Have you done, you haven't sent anything yet? Okay, all right, good. You'll have to send like the marriage certificate or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a marketing request, you know, can we publish this? Can we share your photos? I love it.
They should.
Yeah, they should.
I want to mix it up a little bit. I've asked the two of you to bring questions, right, for the other guests or for the group to discuss. So who would like to introduce our first question?
I can go first.
Yeah.
I'm asking this question because I think a lot about this personally as we grow older and mature. What do you care less about today than you did before?
Wow.
Ooh. The immediate thing that comes to mind for me is makeup. Like I think so much less about my makeup than I ever did before. I remember being a kid and like agonizing over like, how do I do my eyeshadow? How do I do my, you know, my blush or whatever? And now I only wear black eyeliner. And even then that's like only sometimes. I've been doing my eyeliner. You can probably tell it's like the same way I've been doing it since the seventh grade. Like this is very much so like from like an era. But I think that's like the thing that I care less about is really like my physical appearance or like things. I care less about things.
I think that's so interesting too. Cause it's like, you know, you say makeup, but I feel like the moral of the story there is just kind of like, well, this is me, you know, this is how I am, right? And I feel good about where I am in life and showing up in the world. That's kind of, I actually really love makeup. So I can't say I care less about makeup. Thematically, I feel very aligned to you in that, you know, there's so many things where it's like, oh man, I used to stress about this so much. And now I'm kind of like, this is who I am. I'm just going to lean into, you know, into being the mom on the soccer field or, you know, things where you're kind of like, yep, this is where I'm going to be at this point. And that's good. You know,
that's fascinating. I think so. Makeup has never been high on my scale anyway, but the pandemic, I think, took it to a whole new level where I was just like, if my glasses are on, I'm not wearing any eye makeup, even that. Although today, because I'm going on and off, I'm like, okay, I'll compromise for you guys. But like on the physical realm, I would say things like that. Like I don't color my hair anymore. So I'm like, I could care less about that anymore. But what's interesting is I think I care less about doing things the way others do it. And doing things could be anything from the relationships I have with my family, the way I spend my time and money. You know, I had a really great conversation with somebody recently, and we were talking about, you know, how much we would be willing to invest in a learning experience. And I was just like, I don't care how much you're willing. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do it anyway, right? Or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's decisions that I make that are purely just because of they bring me joy.
Yes.
Whereas maybe other people might say like, oh, maybe that's not the best way you spend your time or money or energy. And I'm just like, thank you. It doesn't matter to me anymore. I'm trying to think of something recent like that. But I think more people know that about me. And so I don't get a lot of questions or a lot of pushback anyways. My mom's been like always super supportive. I think she's always been like, that sounds awesome. Go for it. Right. And so like, yeah, mom, my dad is more like, about stuff. You're paying how much to go where to do what for a workshop.
Yeah. But what that kind of makes me think about is how much confidence that also requires you to like kind of like reach a state of confidence to make those decisions. Because I feel like I remember at other points in my life, and I also think it's really natural for humans to compare themselves to other people just biologically as like a barometer of like, is this how I'm supposed to do things? And I think it's like over time you can build the amount of like self-awareness and confidence that like, no, the way that I'm going to do things is fine and valid in its own way. But I think that's like a lesson that I've really been learning more and more this past year.
In what way? Like, what did you experience?
Well, specifically, I recently took on a new role at work where I'm overseeing a team of about 100 people, which is super exciting. But there are like 30 other leaders at my company who have similar roles. And a couple years ago, when I was taking on a similar role, I felt really self-conscious about like, am I setting up the team the same way these other leaders are? Am I thinking about things the same way these other leaders are? And I think coming into this new team and this new project or this new like client team, I realized I've had multiple moments where I've had to catch myself saying, I'm going to prioritize this. I don't know if anyone else is prioritizing this too, but I see the value in it. So, and I think it's important. So I'm going to go ahead and move forward with it. But that's something that is very new feeling like this year, which has given me a lot of like insecurity and imposter syndrome in the past.
Monica, I see you nodding over there. What are you thinking?
Well, I think that we're all guilty of imposter syndrome for sure, especially as women, and just kind of trying to lean into the other voice on the other shoulder that's saying, there's a reason that you're here in this position. Like, as I hear you say that, Christine, there's a reason that you have this team and that people look up to your leadership. And if you were to do something the way you thought you should be doing it, maybe that wouldn't be, you know, authentic to you and why people want to follow you and why they may want to work and collaborate with you and, you know, learn from your leadership. And so I think as women, especially, you know, you look around and you're kind of, for a long time in my career, trying to emulate, like, you know, I have to emulate this to get to this. And it's sometimes hard to find the people that you really authentically feel like, oh, I see myself in that person. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time to realize that there's various ways to do things. And that even if I did it, even if I emulated to the best of my ability and I got there, right, doing it in a way that was inauthentic to me, would I like pop my head up and look around and say, I am miserable because this is not who I am at all, right? So just leaning into, you know, your strengths and why you are at the place you are and marrying that with, and does it bring joy to you? Are you feeling happy in your life? That to me is the very important other side of the equation. So I love to hear that you feel like you're really kind of arriving there or have arrived there in your new role. So that's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
You know what the flip side of this is, and Monica, you just reminded me of that. So it's one thing for us to take ownership, right, of what we desire and how we want to do things in a way that's authentic and aligned for us. But it's often more challenging, and it has been for me sometimes, to allow others that same freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm much more keen on someone conforming to my ideals. Mm-hmm. You should be doing it like this, right? Than I am about somebody, you know, infringing on my own. And yeah. So I think that's interesting. What about you guys when you think about how, you know, if the goal is to find alignment and authenticity for ourselves, how do we create that kind of opportunity and space for other people?
I think that just as you've said it, you really have to kind of honor that in people. I think the lesson over the past few years too is just really being able to authentically meet people where they are. And I've had colleagues go through various difficult journeys, you know, in their personal lives. And you have to, again, kind of going back to the beginning of this conversation, is that human element, you know, like, are you going to be on your deathbed, you know, worrying about, I should have done this thing differently for this project? No. But will I think, wow, I'm so happy that I could be that person for this other person on that part of their journey? You know, for me, that was when I was having my first child, my daughter. My manager at the time just was the most supportive person you could have ever imagined. And I will always look back on that part of my life and think, oh my gosh, like she'll always just hold such a special place in my heart for the experience that I was given at that really pivotal moment in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I will always remember that. Do I remember 99% of the probably day-to-day stuff that we did? No. And so I feel like, you know, that can come in different packages in terms of how do you create that as a leader? But I feel like at the core value of it, that's always the thing that I'm thinking about, right? How can I be this person that on a human level is supporting, whether it's during a challenge or a deep passion of someone or what really matters to them in their work? How can you unlock that and then be a support and advocate for that person when they most need you?
Hmm. I think that obviously inherent in the role that we have as coaches, right? Christine, you might have found this. It's kind of built into the role that we want to have whatever's best for the person that we're coaching, not necessarily attached to our own agenda. But I'm curious, Christine, now you have 100 people who are going to be following you lockstep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Monica, what you were saying kind of reminded me of this idea of you don't always remember like details, but you remember how someone makes you feel. Mm-hmm. And I really believe in that. And I also think like in terms of my own leadership style and what I think matters for leaders is this idea of leading by example, not just to like ask someone how they're doing, but also really modeling like the behaviors that you want to encourage other people to take. And so what I mean by that is like vulnerability is one of my like core values. And I have learned how to be comfortable sharing things about myself that would be vulnerable or that would be real. But I find that it's when we share our own personal stories that it allows people to see themselves like reflected back and gives them permission to also like think and like be open and be vulnerable and authentic in whatever way makes sense for them. Mm-hmm. And so what this means for me, like on a very specific level, it's like how I show up to work. It's like, I'm very open with my team about my pole dancing. It was like one of the first things that I told them, but it wasn't to be like, you know, this is all the things I have going on, but it's more about like, we are whole humans when we, wherever we go, and that we come with all of these things with us, and that's okay. And I try really hard to like create an environment where people feel comfortable bringing their hobbies and other identity markers in, because that's what is going to give them that unique perspective that's going to help us get our work done. And something else you said, Monica, too, and I know I'm like kind of talking a lot, so, but something else, Monica, that you would say that was really interesting was this idea around like you were kind of hinting at like representation or like what you would see in the workplace and what, like if that didn't align with you. And I think that's the other thing that I think a lot about is that in my career, I have had the benefit of having other women leaders to report into, but it's really been predominantly men. And so that's another thing that I think a lot about is like, how can I show up not just as a woman, but a woman of color leader who's like first gen, parents didn't work in the corporate world, they immigrated here from the Philippines. And so it's like, how can I also show up as my whole self to show that there are different paths to get to this place, like in the corporate world?
Ooh, that's congratulations for having that role. That's a lot to show. But you know, one thing, it's so funny. So much of this conversation is timely. I remember having a conversation with another entrepreneur recently, and my journey into entrepreneurship was very different, I think. And what is known as common knowledge or common practices in entrepreneurship, I'm not that interested in. Like, for example, the most recent one, I do the work I love. I am working with wonderful clients and have really cool opportunities, but there are times when I'm just like, I'm booked, and which is a wonderful blessing. So I have to say no to certain things, but I also realize that, oh my gosh, I might need to hire somebody to manage some of the more administrative parts of my job, because it does require time and energy. And I'm always scrambling and having to stay up late to do certain things. I'm like, if I had somebody, that would be really fantastic. So an entrepreneur asked me, well, why not scale? Why not teach other people what you know and how you do things, and therefore you can, you know, have more of you out there? And I'm like, and I felt it. I literally felt the sensation go, like a constriction, like, oh no, I don't need other people to do what I do and to be like me. I want to do that. I want other people to do what they do. Yeah. And I told her, I said, I know this sounds like it might be a little ego trip, but I want to be kind of like how Oprah does. Mm-hmm. You know, Oprah's just Oprah. Oprah's not out churning out other Oprahs, but what she's done beautifully is provide a platform for other people who do their thing at their best, right? To show that off to other people and to give people access to it. And I said, I want to be like that. I want to be the type of entrepreneur that creates space for other people to do their best, but not necessarily because I'm hiring more people, like an army of people to do things like me. Anyhow, so that's what comes up for me when we think about representation is, yeah, do it your way, mm-hmm. and make room for other people to do it theirs, right? To be at least the best of yourself and allow people the room to be the best of themselves. So yeah. Thoughts, comments about those points?
Well, I like the make room. You know, I think you know, it's so important to not only be focused on what brings you joy and what brings you, the purpose behind your work, but I love that idea of kind of harnessing, an opportunity for people to come along with you and do what they do best and shine in the way that they want to shine. And sometimes I think that's easier said than done, honestly. You know, as an ambitious person or leader or working for a company where there's a lot of very talented people, it's so important to kind of always go back to that. Again, you know, I feel like this is the steel thread of the conversation, but just kind of like, as humans, you know, what is that? How are we unlocking that for one another? And just because, in your example, Valerie, you're the, amazing connector and have a passion and something that's uniquely you, that doesn't detract, that you don't, someone else doing something there to their best doesn't take away from what you're doing. And so I think just really kind of harnessing a culture around how we can elevate one another. And then when you are in a position of leadership, how do you kind of spot those, mm-hmm. Kindling fires of, wow, ooh, there's something special here. Or, you helped me even tap into some elements of really, why do I want to do this? Or what, at the end of the day, why is it that I'm pursuing this? Is it for, X or Y, or maybe it's actually Z, and I think it's helping people gain clarity around what will ultimately bring them joy in their work and, purpose and something that's really gonna create meaning in their work, but also in their lives.
I'm going to take a little bit of a detour now, because this question has come up in my head a couple of times since we started chatting. The two of you, at least from my perspective, have very distinct styles, right? You have different ways of showing up in the world. We found some nice threads that connect the two of you already. But I'm curious about, let's just start with the style, like you're just the way you chose to dress today. We talked about the black tee apparently was like,
you got the baseline. Yeah,
you got the multiple chains. I don't know. That might be like a generational thing. I'm not sure. But but I'm curious, because I'm also on the journey right now to figuring out, like, okay, so what is the outer representation of my inner life? And I'm curious about, do you find that there's that your outer life or your outer representation mirrors the inside? And if so, how?
I mean, 100%. But yeah. Like, it's funny because growing up, like the way that I look today as like a 30-something year old, I think is how I've always wanted to look my whole life. But growing up, my mom is like, no, you have to wear dresses. Like, you can't wear boots all the time. Like, you have to, like, you're going to get into the corporate world and then you're going to have to wear this. And so I did like wear other things for a period of time, and then got to a point in my career where I realized, like, no, I have my own disposable income. I can make my own choices. I can choose to wear black every day. And so literally like my entire closet is only black outfits. My wedding dress is black, like all of
wow.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it, and I have found that I have felt like more confident and like comfortable, because I do feel like, not that like I'm like, I wear black and I'm like super gothy and emo like all the time, but I do think it is an indicator that I am somewhat of like an edgy and like kind of like intense, but like approachably like intense. I hope that's how I come across, like approachably intense person. But yeah, I 100% think that my clothing reflects like who I am externally.
Approachably intense. I love it. And you're right. I remember you told me this before, that your entire wardrobe was black. And I wouldn't say I didn't believe you necessarily, but I was just like, well, I'm sure there are other pops of color, right? You're right. Every single session. I mean, and you have the textures and like some sheen, and there's some, some sheer. It's actually quite fascinating. It's fascinating.
There's a lot of mesh. And I'll share one more story. My fiance was getting a bathing suit for me in one of my drawers, and he like opens the drawer and he's like, what is this? Because it's just like piles of like black clothing that he's trying to like parse through. And he's like, I have no idea what I've just grabbed.
black one. You had a specific item though. He's like, it all looks the same. You're like, no, they're very different.
He literally was pulling things out and he was like, is it this? I was like, no, it's not. It's a different strappy black cuffing.
I love that. I have to say, I'll put something on and I'll ask my husband, is this, you know, maybe I'll be trying out like a new trend or something. Is this cute? And he's like, is that how it's supposed to look? You know? And he's like, I think so. But, you know, like, I think of like a particular, at one point, you know, a pointy mule was really, and he's like, I don't know. They kind of look like witch shoes to me, but is that what's cool and fashionable right now? And I'm like, well, you know what? Going back to your question, I like them. So yes, I am going to wear them. I've learned, you know, just maybe ask my sister. He's always just like, I think you look great. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta ask the right person. So yeah. What would you say, Monica, for you? How are you? How aligned is your external representation from your internal?
I agree with Christine. I feel like totally aligned. And it's, for me, I'm a really kind of creative person. So I love, it's an expression of creativity for me. Like I really love all sorts of jewelry. I make different jewelry. I
make
love
jewelry.
Fashion. Hey, I do. That's cool. I make different jewelry. I love a good craft, any sort. So I feel like fashion is kind of an extension of that, right? And then, you know, I guess it doesn't even really matter ultimately what it is that you're putting on. But Christine, you said something, you know, you were saying, ultimately, I knew this is what I feel good in. And we've all had that experience, right? Where you put something on, you're like, meh, yeah. And then you're kind of like, yeah, this is what I feel good in. And so you go out into the world wearing that, right? Especially on important days or something big with work. I think it really does make a difference for how I feel if the inside of how I'm feeling is aligned with how I'm presenting myself externally.
That's huge. I'm still in the search. I think there were moments, there've been like moments of it. There was this makeover show online on TV. Gosh, it's been years now, maybe 10, 15 years ago. I can't remember the name of the show, but they were doing like it was an apartment makeover actually. It wasn't a fashion makeover, but this person was having their apartment redone and all that. But I remember her dressing. She had like a lot of Asian inspired, like tunics and so colors, embroidery. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's it. I love that. The sizes don't seem to always blend like a line for me. So there might need to be some custom made stuff, but I'm drawn to pieces from other cultures and ethnicities. I have a sari. I have a few dresses that my friend got me from India. I have some nice blouses that have this wonderful neckline, very colorful from Mexico. And like, I've always dreamt of having kind of like my space. My space is generally touches from a lot of different cultures, but I haven't found exactly how that interprets into a wardrobe that's not like extravagant. I'm also like, that's not where I want to spend my money. And I'm also like, I want to be grounded too. I'm also super comfortable and practical. So I don't know. I'm trying to find what that expression is. What advice do you guys have? You guys seem to have found your niche. I'm jealous.
I mean, it sounds like you just have eclectic taste, Valerie.
I do.
You have to like embrace it.
It's confusing. That was a lot. But I want to be practical. Like my practical side is kind of like bumping up against like, no, keep it simple, really basic. But then I'm like, that's boring.
Actually, I do have a tip because this is something that I did when I landed here. it's probably 10 years ago now, I reached a point where I was like, I don't feel like I'm dressing professionally enough to be leading teams. But I also didn't want to like dress in like traditional, like business casual, like slacks, because I also felt really uncomfortable in that. And so I made a Pinterest board and then just started like pinning things that kind of like what you were describing, like noticing something that called to you, and I pinned things. And then I got to see it all in totality. And I realized like, okay, I'm missing like maybe some leather pants or like a nice like wool sweater top to go over that. Like, and then I realized, like, okay, I think the vibe is like edgy museum curator, but is what I'm getting from this. But I found it really helpful to see it all like kind of mapped out to pull out what like the themes were.
I love that idea. And you're pulling off edgy museum curator.
100%, right?
Thank you.
What did you call it? Approachably intense? Or no.
Yeah, approachably intense edgy museum curator is what I was going for.
I love it. I would say, Val, you know, I would say pick a few things that are really like that you really love. Right? Maybe it's a piece, maybe it's like an eclectic piece of jewelry or, you know, one way to bring in your inspiration of that. Cause those that know me best know that I am the look for less all the way. I will never pay, you know, a ton of money. Cause it, like you, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'd rather spend that on something else, but you can find a couple of go-to things that make you feel really happy and feel like are a good expression of, you know, who you are. And, you know, maybe just start with those.
Okay. I'm going to hire a stylist, I think. I'm also not inspired to go out of my way to do a lot of that work. But thank you for the tips. Let's get another question. Christine, do you have a question?
I do. I'm really excited. So this actually kind of lines in with the question that you asked, Monica, just coincidentally. But are you the person that you thought that you would grow up to be?
Oh my gosh, that's a heavy question. I love that question though. I think yes, ultimately, I mean, I'm not, at one point maybe I thought I was gonna be like, you know, the beach Barbie that I played with or something. So not in that way. However, in a more meaningful way, you know, someone, I am a mom of two kids, which has always been an important thing to me. So a mother, I have an awesome husband who I love very much, and we've created a beautiful life and a family. So in that way, yes. But in terms of kind of like, what kind of person are you truly? You know, are you a happy person? Are you someone that brings meaning to the world? Are you doing kind of what you're meant to be doing? I would say almost kind of like a yes and, like, yes, I do feel like I am arriving there, and I feel like there's so much more that I can give, you know, to the world, especially with everything that is going on in the world, and especially the really horrific events this week. You know, there's certain areas where I think I can do more. I should be making a bigger impact outside of my little life that I feel very happy in, you know, but what else are we kind of called to do, and how can we use our unique talents, you know, to kind of bring that forth? So, so yes, and I think is my answer.
Yeah, I love that.
No, you said this is interesting because, you know, both of you alluded to the last 2 years have been full of change, in some cases change welcome, in some change and unwelcome or difficult, right, to embrace. But this idea of being more, of doing more, or serving more, you know, I have a talk that I'm giving that I give called Serving Beyond Yourself, and a lot of it is really about not just doing more, but it's like the combination of doing what brings us passion, but in service of something that's needed, right? Like finding what that sweet spot is. So I just out of curiosity, what are some things that you guys are like really passionate about now in your life, in any aspect of your life, that you see could have a really positive impact on someone or something, or in some aspect of community that you care about?
Well, I think the observation that you just made right now, Valerie, in terms of like taking the things that we are passionate in doing and seeing like how we can be of service, that was a big question for me last year, because I just felt like I'd felt really guilty about not having a hard last couple of years. And I recognize that that comes from like a place of privilege. And I felt very conscious of the fact of like, I would like to volunteer, but what kind of opportunities like would I be consistent in? Because I've tried some volunteer things here and there that didn't really stick. And what I landed on is that the thing that I'm really passionate about is leadership, and particularly making the corporate world a place where people don't hate showing up to work, like creating environments where people actually like coming and working with the people at, you know, whatever company they're at. And I ended up finding this nonprofit called America Needs You, and it serves specifically first-gen, low-income college students to help them prepare for like their post-college careers. And so it's like one-on-one mentorship and coaching to help them get their first internships, review their resumes, et cetera. And so I've been doing that for the last year. And it's been so, so rewarding because it makes me think so much about, like I said, my parents didn't work in the corporate world. A lot of what I have learned, I've learned from mentors and just like experience along the way. And so it has been very rewarding to be able to take what I've learned about breaking into this world and sharing it with a younger generation of kids who also didn't have that like historical knowledge from their families.
That's, you know, it's huge that you said what you just said. I think, first of all, identifying kind of like the mission, and it doesn't always have to be like, you know, you don't have to go overseas to do this, right? You found this right there in your community. I had a similar experience where I felt guilty because I had, you know, I'm also first generation. Well, actually, not even that. I was born in another country, an immigrant to this country, but I did have access to a lot of mentorship and a lot of wonderful guidance. And I'm like, I'm not paying that forward in any significant way. I don't have children of my own. So it's not like I'm like, my kids are going to get the book, right? Mm-hmm. So my nieces and nephews do, but also other community organizations that I've connected to. But yeah, that's an interesting way to start thinking about how you can combine what you love to do and what's needed. And that could be helpful. Monica, what about for you? Anything come up for you?
Yeah, well, just quickly, I love what you shared, Christine. I feel like sometimes we can all feel so overwhelmed with there are so many things that need help in this world. And you're kind of like, how do I actually make a meaningful impact? You know, of course you can donate and you can do different things, but sometimes it just feels so big. Mm-hmm. And I love the example that you shared that you're kind of like, I'm passionate about this. And here's an organization that, you know, had used that unique skill and passion, and here's how I'm actually putting it into play. So I find that really inspirational, and thank you for sharing that. I have a lot of things that I'm really passionate about. If I think of kind of the first part of the question around what can I uniquely bring, like you, I feel like I'm a really big connector in my life, you know, whether it's across just different groups of people and friends and bringing people together. Even our house is kind of one of those places that we just bring lots of people together, but also professionally at work. And it's one of the things that I love the most is, you know, working really cross-functionally and working across different teams in and outside of Salesforce. And so I think about like, how can I harness all of those connections and resources in a meaningful way? For me, the causes that are really close to my heart, I actually am not first generation, but my grandfather and his family, you know, came to the United States, and he was a migrant farm worker for many years in his childhood, kind of up and down the California, and eventually then became an entrepreneur and was kind of the American story. But I feel a sense of huge responsibility to always know that my, you know, privilege and the opportunities that have come to me in my life are not far away from something very different from that. And how do I really kind of focus back towards lifting other people up and never taking my privilege, you know, for granted? So I like to really look for those types of opportunities. Raices is an organization that I have, you know, donated to and been involved with. I also am really am passionate about common sense gun laws, which is very pertinent this week, but have always been connected to Moms Demand Action in every town. And there's been much more awareness of that, I think, more and more, unfortunately, given all of the tragedies that we had happened. But I really kind of feel like, how can I do this on a more regular, meaningful basis? I think that I've historically been kind of in and done something and then kind of come out or looked for one volunteer opportunity. And so I'm looking for, how do I actually build that into my life? Just as I do everything else, you know, I'm very involved in work and I'm very involved in our community and the schools within our community, but how can I actually prioritize it really, you know, as kind of a core component of something that I focus on? So I feel especially inspired to do more of that as of late, and hopefully I can hold to that commitment.
Thank you for that, because I do think, you know, not only being timely, but it's I hate to say evergreen because this feels like we have this conversation every few months, right? Or in some cases every few weeks, where we're trying to figure out what does this country, what does the United States need to do in order to keep our citizens safe, mm-hmm. right? And protected. And not to go into all of that, but I think the challenge sometimes in hearing that there's something to be done, there's something that we need to do, is that there's a sense of obligation. But that's kind of like I was saying before, sometimes it's just a matter of the service could come from giving other people the platform to do what they do best. And so if we're not particularly drawn, I probably wouldn't be in Moms, what did you call it? It was Moms Against Action?
Moms Demand Action.
Demand Action. Moms Demand Action. I probably would not be involved in it per se, but I'm like, oh, now I know what Monica's into. So I'm going to give her maybe resources or information or connect her with somebody that might be helpful, right? Christine, now that I know that you're really interested in providing opportunities and mentoring individuals who are first gen coming out of college and giving them an access to corporate, an information about how to navigate corporate life, like, oh, actually, I do have somebody that I want to introduce you to. So put a pin on that.
Happy to help.
Not here. Podcast is not enough for me. But I think it's as I'm experiencing what you guys are saying to me, I can also see that it doesn't always mean we are all having to do X, Y, Z. There's a lot of things of special interest in this world. Find your interest, find what makes you come alive, go do it, and then create space and opportunities for other people to do the same. That's what I'm getting out of this conversation. So thank you, because that's going to go into my speech. I might talk about this conversation just as a matter of reference.
But I think it's also like, Monica, like what you were saying, like it's so easy to be overwhelmed by bad news. And I think like, you know, making the conscious decision to impact the communities that we actually can have impact and influence in, and focusing on the actions that we can take to at least make these spaces better, I think is what has helped me like keep the existential dread at bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even our families, I think we take for granted that, you know, there is an act of service to manage our families in a certain way, whether that's your fiance or your children or your neighbors, nieces, nephews, et cetera. I think we show up everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. Now how intentional we show up is up to us. So I think there's always plenty of places to serve. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we got into that line of conversation, but that's what had to happen. But I wanna shift us once again. As we start to reflect on the experience of being on this podcast and having this conversation, I know it feels like we could probably uncap and unearth a lot more stuff if we had more time, but I'm curious for the two of you, what has it been like being here today? And yeah, let's start with that. What has it been like?
I think it has been a joy. I love these types of connections. In fact, people make fun of me because I'm the person that's like, deeply connected with my Uber driver by the time I hope your mom's surgery goes well, you know, like that's just kind of because I like to do this type of stuff. So just getting the opportunity to meet you, Christine, and learn a little bit about you, and also just kind of again have a meaningful conversation with someone that goes deeper than just the kind of pleasantries that we tend to walk through life with. So thank you for that.
Yeah, if we're talking about commonalities, Monica, that is exactly the reputation that I have in my group of friends too, like in terms of making chit chat with the Uber driver. But yeah, no, this was wonderful. I think like in general, I'm a curious person. Like I'm infamous in my group of friends for like being able to find someone using only their first name on social media. And so, because like, I'm just like, I'm curious, like I like to just know. And I think like what it was really cool about this conversation is that we were able to go deep, like we were able to keep it light at times. And it's been such a pleasure chatting and getting to know you as well, Monica, and Valerie, being able to reconnect in this space. It's been a lot of fun.
Very cool. And you guys did amazingly well doing both, right? That I think that's part of this mission for me, that we can both be deep and light. Mm-hmm. That depth actually can bring joy.
Yes.
Whereas most of us can be a bit guarded, right? Walk in and be like, I'm just here to buy XYZ grocery, or I'm just here to get from point A to point B. But having a moment of connection could really spark something for us. And it doesn't have to be like a whole long conversation. It could be instant. Mm-hmm. What are you walking away with out of this conversation? What are you taking with you?
I just feel inspired to just continue to lean into this, right? I love this concept of just creating opportunities for people to connect. I personally find joy in it. I know some people, it causes severe anxiety. So it's also kind of like an awareness of, because I'm like, oh, we should do this with everyone. Maybe we should do this amongst our teams and stuff. And I think just kind of meeting people where they are, but always with kind of that goal of creating and fostering more meaningful connection, right? In a way that feels authentic. But how can we look for opportunities in our lives to continue to do that? Like for me, it's not just my connections, but can I harness this and help people create deeper connection and meaning in their conversations and in their encounters as well?
Go forth and connect more. Go forth and connect.
I'm going to plus one everything that Monica just said, because like, absolutely agree. You said it so beautifully. I can't repeat it. But I think on top of that, I think what I would add is this week has been, I know this is getting published later on, but this has been a heavy week, and it's nice to be able to end this week on a light note and to be able to go into the weekend on kind of this like, you know, positive, like human connection, you know, deep philosophical talk, like into the weekend. Like it's a nice cap to what has been a tough week otherwise.
And just to give people context, because they're likely, you know, this is months later that they're listening to this episode, the shooting, mass shootings again, and you know, there've been a couple just in the last 10 days, which has rocked the world once again. What else? There's war in the Ukraine and Russia. I'm sure there's, you know, issues with there's climate change still. I don't know by the time people listen to this, any of the big things have changed, but I'm curious about, for the two of you, and I love that this has given a nice cap to the week, right? And an opportunity to have some depth in ways that are maybe more nurturing, right? Maybe that's the word I would use, nurturing. I'm curious about, what would you do as a result of this? Like let me flip it. If you're talking to the people who are listening to this conversation, they've spent an hour with us, they hear all about your pole dancing, they hear about your, you know, your pointy shoes.
I still love them. I stand by them. Hey.
Right. And they, you know, how you both have found ways to align your inner and your outer expression. What would you challenge people to do as a result of this conversation, or be inspired by this conversation? If you had to challenge the people to go do something in their own lives or in their community or wherever, in their closet, what would you challenge them to do?
I would challenge them, like, the moment that you find yourself judging someone, be curious instead, and like, and find moments to like be curious and around with the people around you, with the people that you're encountering, like on the street, and finding those moments of connection. But be curious.
Okay. Curiosity over judgment and look for moments of connection.
I would say get outside of your comfort zone in terms of looking for those connecting moments, right? Like almost every time I think, should I give that compliment? Or, you know, should I ask that other question? Or am I going to be a weirdo? You know, every time I do, I'm like, oh, I'm glad I did that, because it unlocked either a cool connection or brought a smile to somebody's face. And you're kind of like, all right, we're all humans in this world. And that was a really nice connection. And so, but we have those moments where we're like, I'm tired, or I don't know. But put yourself out there. And I think that if you do, you almost never regret that you had.
That's such a good point too, because I do feel like people hold themselves back from doing that, because they're like, the other person's going to think I'm stupid. But it's, yeah, we all feel this fear. Everyone feels this fear of being stupid, but no one actually thinks that.
It's actually the opposite. I remember Mark Rittenberg, who's the founder of the Berkeley Executive Coaching Institute. I remember him in an MBA class talking about, you have the option to either be a contribution or be a saboteur. And it was like a really, that's such a stark contrast. And people were like, wait, what? That seems kind of extreme. There's gotta be a middle way. And he said, well, consider contribution is any time that you open, you know, you say something that you've been thinking, you mention something that people have maybe not noticed, right? You call attention to something that's important, that's been ignored or that's been diminished. That's a contribution to the conversation, as a contribution to an individual. So even if we thought, hey, you know, that's a great shirt, I should say something, like, if think it, say it kind of thing, it's a contribution to the other person. We don't know if that shirt was a gift from someone that means a lot to them, or if they went out of their way and they expressed a sense of courage, because I don't usually wear a lot of color, but this is the thing, We have no clue. So that's being a contribution. And sabotage and the saboteur, that was that is withholding or avoiding something that could potentially be meaningful to someone else, right? So not speaking up because of our own self-preservation, or looking the other way because we might not feel the courage in that case, or we don't feel comfortable or something. But the idea is that we get to choose every moment: do we give life or do we take it away? And then to think of it, like, okay, I'm gonna tell them I like the watch. I don't want that.
I like that.
But it's so true, because it's like you never really know what kind of day someone's having. I know you always hear that. And there's just times that you do put yourself out there and you think, gosh, that was such little effort to me. But you can tell it maybe really meant something to someone else, or it really lifted their spirits, or you had a good chuckle over something. You know, it can be benign, but you think, man, that took zero effort really from my part. And that just comes light in the day for both of us in that exchange.
So 100. Well, I'm glad that the two of you said yes to this experience, because I think it was not only win-win, it sounds like, but win, win-win-win for all of us. I so appreciate the two of you bringing your energy and your joy and your depth and your philosophies to the conversation. I know we could probably talk longer, and I hope that you talk beyond this, right?
You're invited to
reach out to one another if that works for you. But any final words for each other or for the audience or for me?
I feel like, thank you both. You made my first experience on the dating game, like, totally positive. In all seriousness, this is a great experience. And I'm really grateful, like you said, Christine, to kind of cap the week on a hopeful note, right? That there is still such humanity, and that we do like to connect, and even two different people can really share a lot of connection and similarities at the end of the day, right, to who we are and what we hope for the world. So thank you for that.
Likewise, I just have so much gratitude to both of you for, this is such a nice experience, for the first podcast recording, first Facebook Live I've ever been on. But Monica, like what you were saying, it is nice to be reminded of how kind of like natural it can be to connect with another human if you just take the time to do so, and how the experience of doing so does inspire good feelings. Because I think really naturally, like naturally, the experience of being human is to desire and seek out community and connection, whether consciously or not. So this is a cool little like mini experience of that.
It absolutely is. All right. My job here is done. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. I'm so grateful. You guys are doing amazing things. You've certainly been a contribution to me and beyond this moment, obviously beyond this hour. And then also I'm sure anyone that's been listening to the things you're saying, there's something that you said or a way in which you said it, that is a contribution to them as well. So I'm grateful for your generosity, your generous spirit today. Thank you everyone who's tuned in to this episode of Not Quite Strangers. As usual, know that go to www.notquitestrangers.com to find any past episodes, or if you'd like to subscribe, that way you don't miss a single episode in your inbox. So grateful to go out and have these conversations. Choose curiosity over judgment. Get out of your comfort zone. Ask that one more question and be a contribution to other people. And have a wonderful rest of the day. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the podcast Not Quite Strangers. Be sure to subscribe or follow on your favorite video or podcast platform. And for more information and content, go to notquitestrangers.com. See you next time.